administrations, but the difference, while statistically significant, is small and not necessarily caused by the president. In terms of policy, the ability to implement major initiatives will depend on the outcome of the two Senate races in Georgia, which will determine which party has a majority. The Democratic Party lost some seats in the House of Representatives, but maintained the majority there. Clearly, the first and foremost thing to be dealt with is the coronavirus. There has been some good news regarding progress toward a vaccine, but case numbers and hospitalizations are higher than ever. The economic crisis is the direct result of the health crisis, and we cannot fully revive the lost jobs and output until we have an effective strategy with regard to the pandemic. It appears that President-elect Biden will properly focus more directly on a better response. However, calls for sweeping shutdowns and other highly restrictive mandates should be approached with caution. The U.S. economy is recovering, but a major shutdown would be devastating, causing financial duress and wreaking havoc on mental health and wellness. While targeted restrictions may be essential in many places, a broad-based lockdown would cause immense harm. Greater encouragement of basic safety measures is already forthcoming from the president-elect, which experts agree can have major positive consequences. A second issue worth noting relates to uncertainty. Nothing inhibits investment and risk-taking in the economy more than unpredictability. Uncertainty also inhibits purchasing, and about 70% of the U.S. economy is driven by consumer spending during normal times. I anticipate that there will be greater clarity and consistency going forward, which could be a positive factor. The initial response in the financial markets is quite positive. I would sum up by noting that the dichotomy created by virtually every poll in the election between the virus and the economy was incorrect. The economy can only be restored through a concerted health response. At the same time, the health response should be examined through the lens of its potential to lead to indirect harms, which could be avoided. It will be a balancing act, but research into promising advances in vaccines and therapeutics is ongoing in laboratories and universities across the country and indeed the world. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 56 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-50s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, November 15th, 2020. Life and Times. Medical Matters. A look at the endemic problem in a pandemic by Dr. Varuna Nargunan, endocrinologist. Diabetes mellitus is one of the major chronic medical problems in the United States. In 2017, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, estimated the healthcare cost of diabetes was $327 million. In addition, the CDC says more than 34 million Americans have diabetes, and more than 88 million adults in the U.S., one in three, have prediabetes, and 90% of them don't know they have it. It is diagnosed with routine blood work. The most common types of diabetes are type 1 and type 2. Diabetes mellitus type 2 constitutes 95% of diabetes in adults. Others include maturity onset diabetes of the young, MODY, gestational diabetes, etc. Type 1 diabetes is due to an autoimmune disorder, which causes destruction of the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas and in turn are insulin-dependent. Type 2 diabetes is due to the resistance developed by the body in which the target cells do not respond appropriately to the insulin produced. Fasting sugar levels more than 126 and random sugar levels more than 200 is diabetes. HbA1c, hemoglobin A1c, is a measure of average sugars in 3 months. If that is more than 6.5%, that is also a diagnostic of diabetes. Usually the symptoms are unusual weight loss, increased thirst, appetite, frequent urination, blurry vision, and fatigue. Some children present with bedwetting as a symptom. High-carb diets and sedentary lifestyles are the most common causes of diabetes. Family history also has a significant contribution in those diagnosed with diabetes. Management first involves dietary modifications, which includes a low-carb diet and a balanced meal plan. Those newly diagnosed should also start to exercise at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. There are various medications available to control diabetes. The management is to target the blood sugar fasting less than 130 and less than 200 2 hours after eating. If management with oral medication is not successful, then insulin injections are added for the management of diabetes. Talk to your doctor about the right medications that will be effective for you. Not taking proper care of diabetes can lead to many long-term effects, such as vision damage, kidney damage resulting in dialysis, amputation of the limbs, heart attack, stroke, and even death. Your health is your asset, and you should always seek help before it is too late if you think you may have diabetes. Dr. Varuna Nargunan, MD, is with ProCare Endocrinology in Odessa, Texas. She is board certified in diabetes, endocrinology, and metabolism, and also board certified in internal medicine. ProCareOdessa.com/Varuna Nargunan-M-D. Safety should be on the menu. OA News at OAOA.com. COVID or not, Thanksgiving is less than 2 weeks away, and it doesn't change the fact that many people will still be preparing turkeys this year. According to the USDA, Americans will prepare more than 40 million turkeys this Thanksgiving season. The USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service is offering food safety advice to help reduce foodborne illness on Thanksgiving Day. Those steps include washing your hands to control the spread of germs. Thawing the turkey is another safety step, as frozen turkeys should never be thawed on the counter or in hot water and must not be left at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Avoiding cross-contamination is crucial, as the USDA found that 60% of kitchen sinks were contaminated with germs after participants washed or rinsed poultry. The USDA also does not recommend stuffing the turkey for optimal safety and recommends cooking the turkey to a minimum internal temperature of 165 degrees Fahrenheit. To ensure that food stays safe to eat through the weekend, all perishable items should be refrigerated within 2 hours of when they finished cooking, and leftovers should be stored in small, shallow containers in the refrigerator until the Monday after Thanksgiving Day. For other questions, visit foodsafety.gov or follow USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service, FSIS, on Twitter, at USDA Food Safety or on Facebook at facebook.com/foodsafety.gov. Master Gardeners, Protection Techniques to Prevent Freeze Damage to Plants by Kathy McKenna, Master Gardener. Trees by Joyce Kilmer. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast, a tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray, a tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Trees are beautiful gifts from nature. They provide shading for roofs, walls, windows, and doorways. They can decrease cooling costs with their shade on south and west exposures. They can screen air conditioning outdoors to reduce energy consumption and improve the aesthetic appearance of your home or business. Trees should be selected that tolerate local conditions and climate. The United States is divided into zones which reflect minimum winter temperatures. This can be viewed in the USDA Hardiness Zone map. Many factors, including soil type, drainage, moisture, humidity, and exposure to wind temperature and sun, impact your tree's survival. Protection techniques include intervention to prevent freeze damage to plants. The most common interventions include: water plants several days or more before cold weather threatens. This relieves stress, especially with drought. Water also holds warmth with a slow release, slower than air or plant surfaces. Watering your plants right before a freeze. A detailed specific instruction can be attained at https://aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu/travis/wp-content/uploads/2013/06/frostsandfreezes.pdf. Adding heat if it's going to get too cold. Even a simple cover to protect your plants adds a source of heat. Add soil, which is a good insulator. Citrus growers will pile up a cone of soil encircling the base of the tree's trunk. This protects the lower trunk. Specific detailed instructions for application of the above techniques can be attained at https://aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu/travis/wp-content/uploads/2013/06/frostsandfreezes.pdf. The fall and winter protect your trees and plants. Honor the beauty of your garden. References: Texas Master Gardener Handbook, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, 2019, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, Frosts and Freezes. Texas Master Gardeners, we are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Master Gardeners to Hold Landscape Design Class by Jeanette Castagnon. EarthKind focuses on using environmentally friendly management practices to produce landscapes that are beautiful, low maintenance, and sustainable. The goals of an EarthKind landscape are to conserve water and energy, reduce pesticide and fertilizer use, and to recycle landscape wastes. Unfortunately, some EarthKind principles can be difficult to implement in an established landscape, especially if the owner does not wish to make drastic changes to the existing design and plantings. We will be holding an Earthkind Landscape Design Workshop from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday at the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, 1010 East 8th Street. Instructors will be Jeanette Castagnon, Earthkind Plant Selection, Barbara Porsche, Herb Selection, and Debbie Frost, DIY Landscape Design. Cost is $65. Personal design consultation is available Wednesday and Thursday by appointment. Register online at westtexasgardening.org. Castagnon is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at Jeanette, J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E, dot Castagnon, C-A-S-T-A-N-O-N, at ag.tamu.edu.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, November 14, 2020. McQueenie Man helps put polka music in space. Tumbleweed Smith. I play squeeze box and grew up with polka music, mainly Czech and German style, says Gene Hackmack of McQueenie. He owned a restaurant in New Ulm for a few years and entertained customers by strolling around with his accordion. He also played with groups all over Central and South Texas. I love polka music. It makes you happy. My mother listened to it all the time, and finally she bought me an accordion and told me I had to learn to play it. He joined the Marines as soon as he graduated from Burton High School near Brenham. Boot camp was a breeze compared to working on the farm. He became a medical corpsman and served 13 months in Vietnam and later was stationed in Okinawa. Gene went to work for NASA after his discharge in 1967. I was there during the Apollo days when they made the first lunar landing. I did physicals on just about every astronaut that came through there. One of the astronauts, Don Thomas from Cleveland, Ohio, and I got to talking about polka music. He just came out and said, "Hey, why don't you wake me up with some polka when I'm in space?" I said, "Sure, you got it. Do you have any polka in mind?" He said, "Yeah, how about the Beer Barrel Polka?" Gene and another musician recorded Beer Barrel Polka on a cassette and gave it to Mission Control. This was on July 18, 1995. The mission was SPS 70. Don Thomas wrote Orbit of Discovery about his experience on the space shuttle. Discovery. He has been on 4 flights, spent 44 days in space, and orbited Earth 700 times. There were approximately 6 astronauts aboard for that mission, Gene said. Each one could request his own wake-up song. We woke up Don Thomas with the Beer Barrel Polka. NASA, through Don, gave us each a nice plaque thanking us for the first polka in space wake-up music, which is kind of a neat souvenir to have. And they included some patches that were actually flown on the mission. Of course, I have those hanging on a wall in my house. Beer Barrel Polka was composed in 1920. The son of the composer lives in Prague, Czech Republic. Because of the publicity generated about putting Beer Barrel Polka into space, he heard about it and invited Gene to Prague. Gene and his wife went and were royally entertained. It was quite a treat. He's a big businessman in Prague and has a restaurant, among other things. We were introduced to a bunch of dignitaries and went to a music concert. A lot of photographers were around us all the time, and our picture is in his restaurant in Prague. Gene Hackmack of McQueenie performs Christmas music December 8, 2018, on his diatonic accordion while walking Market Street during Tombaugh's 11th German Christmas Market at the Depot Plaza in Tombaugh.
November is for the turkey. Subs. By Taylor Sutton, MS, RD, United Markets Lifestyle Desk. What makes an epic sandwich, you might ask? Ask different people this, and they can usually point you in the direction of their favorite place to get it. What about that sandwich makes it so special? For some, it could be the quality of ingredients, others, the simplicity of it, and others, the big bowl flavors that keep you coming back for another bite. There is a delicate balance between all of those, plus how to make it a little more health-focused. For the bread, there are quite a few options to choose from. Sometimes you are ready for a good chewy bread, or maybe you would like a lower-carb bread. Our favorite lighter options are the sandwich thins, Thomas Light English muffins, or Nature's Own double fiber bread. You can even skip the bread altogether and use cheese wraps such as Folio's cheese wraps. Now for the meat. We have no shortage of quality sections when it comes to this category. If you are looking for sliced deli meats, United Supermarkets and Market Street are the largest national carriers of boar's head, and plenty of their selection comes in a heart-healthy alternative. Here we are striving for 2 to 3 ounces, which is about the size of a deck of cards, to keep us full and satisfied. Now everyone's favorite, the cheese. Adding some creamy goodness to a sandwich is almost always a must. If you're wanting to step out and be a little more adventurous in this area, head to the cheese counter in our stores and ask for a sample of the cheese you see yourself wanting. We just tried the Red Dragon horseradish cheddar, and it was delicious. If you want to play it a little more safe, find a familiar flavor that goes well. We could never say no to a goat cheese, since it goes well with both sweet and savory items. Next, something a little different. Fruit. You're probably thinking, fruit? On a sandwich? Yep, we're going there. Stone fruits do surprisingly well. Think peaches, apricots, cherries, nectarines, etc. Apples and pears are also great additions. You can opt for a fresh, dried, and canned self. You can also do a jam or jelly, but watch the portion size. Now for the veggies. Veggies are full of delicious flavors and nutrients, and a favorite part of ours when it comes to build-your-own sandwich restaurants. Have you ever accidentally overstuffed your sandwich with a few extra peppers and onions or spinach? Cue the easy back and sauteing your vegetables to be able to add more if you have leftovers from the night before. It's an easy way to not only reduce food waste, but also to amp up the flavor in a simple way. Depending on the overall mood of your sandwich, the extras or add-ons can really amplify or take away its flavors. Things like sauces and additional toppings can be really fun when in the right combo. Some of our favorites include hummus, pesto, pickled onions, sun-dried tomatoes, olives, pickles, Freak Flag sausage, blue top sauce, mustard, avocados, etc. Okay, let's get you started with an easy and November-appropriate sandwich. Recipe for turkey sub sandwich with maple mayo. Ingredients: a sixth loaf ciabatta bread from bakery, 1/8 small green apple, 3 ounce sliced deli boar's head maple glazed turkey, 1 teaspoon maple syrup, 1 tablespoon mayo, a 1/2 ounce brie, a 1/2 cup lettuce packed, 1 small Roma tomato. Instructions. Number 1, cut open bread loaf. 2, mix maple syrup and mayo. 3, spread a thin layer on one side of bread. 4, layer apples and tomatoes in thin slices. 5, layer on turkey, apples, tomato slices, and lettuce. 6, spread the brie on the opposite side and seal up the sandwich with this side on top.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, November 14th, 2020. Museum receives highest national recognition. The Ellen Noel Art Museum has again achieved accreditation by the American Alliance of Museums, the highest national recognition afforded the nation's museums. Accreditation signifies excellence to the museum community, to governments, funders, outside agencies, and to the museum-going public. The Ellen Noel Art Museum achieved initial accreditation in 2005. All museums must undergo a re-accreditation review at least every 10 years to maintain accredited status. Participation in the accreditation process demonstrates that the Ellen Noel Art Museum is publicly committed to upholding the museum's high professional standards for education, public service, and collections care. By achieving this mark of distinction, you are a leader in the field exemplifying best museums have to offer and reminding your peers, public and policy makers, how much museums really matter to communities, Laura I. Lott, Alliance President and CEO, said. Accreditation is clearly a significant achievement of which both the institutions and the communities they serve can be extremely proud. Alliance accreditation brings national recognition to a museum for its commitment to excellence, accountability, high professional standards, and continued institutional improvement. This designation attests that the Ellen Noel Art Museum operates at the highest level of museum provision in this country. Of the nation's estimated 33,000 museums, only 1,070 have achieved accreditation. The Ellen Noel Art Museum is one of only 49 museums accredited in Texas. I am honored and proud that the Ellen Noel Art Museum has achieved this noteworthy recognition from the AAM, Director Sheila Perry said. The museum's dedication to creating high-quality, engaging exhibitions and programs that inspire our audience is made all the more successful by this reaccreditation. The hard work and dedication of the staff and board during the reaccreditation process and beyond regularly exemplify ENAM's commitment to excellence and to serving the people of West Texas. Accreditation is a very rigorous but highly rewarding process that examines all aspects of a museum's operations. To earn accreditation, a museum first must conduct a year of self-study and then undergo a site visit by a team of peer reviewers. AAM's Accreditation Commission, an independent and autonomous body of museum professionals, considers the self-study and visiting committee report to determine whether a museum should receive accreditation. The museum is doing amazing work and serving its community exceptionally well, noted Amy Bartow Malia, chair of the AAM Accreditation Committee. Through a rigorous process of self-assessment and review by its peers, the museum has shown itself to be a good steward of its resources, held in the public trust, and committed to a philosophy of continual institutional growth. Congratulations on this achievement. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, ENAM, opened in 1985 as a result of 15 years of grassroots efforts to build an arts organization in Odessa. A group of determined individuals took on the demanding task of planning, fundraising, and creating a museum that our community continues to enjoy today. Since its establishment, the museum's Board of Trustees has been